you get started then, and let's see how we go.
All right. I started as an AO in January 1954, working in the crystallography section on the north side with Reg Duke and Alan Ladd. He left soon after I joined, as Alan Ladd, and he went to Canada, but not before he'd sold me his old 1928 aerial motorcycle for £2. I had to wheel it home because it didn't work, but I got it going in the end, well enough, to, in fact, to be stopped on the Great Cambridge Road one day by a motorcycle cop, not for speeding. he just wanted to see the bike and chat about it. I sold it eventually, though, at a profit for £3. I can't remember who the lucky chap was there. And I moved on to a 250cc Velocette. Thinking of bikes makes me think that about that time, motorbikes and scooters must have been much more common than they are now.
Yes, what year was this, actually? What year was this?
1954.
1954,
Cars were definitely scarce then and salaries were low, which reminds me of my salary. When I started, my take-home pay after everything was deducted was £29.10. I remember that because I used to draw it from the bank £10 three times a month, which was 30 quid. And I was only putting 29.
Obviously, per month, yes.
Yeah. So that just goes to show what it was like in those days in terms of salary.
How were you actually? Could I just say, how were you actually? Did you become aware of the vacancy at ERDE or?
I don't know. I graduated in June or just so in previous year 1953, and I went round trying to get interviews from various places.
You were living then in locally?
No, my hometown's Winchester, so living for a start at Winchester, but then I stayed with my brother at Tennington because he used to work for National Chemical there. NCL? I think it was National Chemical Lab there, next to NPL. No, it was called CRL, Chemical Research Lab, wasn't it? Next to NPL.
I remember, yes. Yeah.
And I stayed there for a bit with him because it was easier to go to interviews. at those times, there was national service around, wasn't there? And you either worked for the ministry or you went and did the national service.
That's right, yeah.
I chose to work for the ministry.
Like myself, yes.
Eventually found one that would let me in.
Oh, yeah.
So I must have applied for an advertisement, I suppose. It seems to me that, looking back on it, the other feature about that era was that there was a preponderance of young people being recruited. There must have been a recruitment campaign going on, I think.
Yeah.
Because lots of young people, girls especially, I remember coming into Waltham Abbey about that time. In the crystallography section, for example, we had Pat Fisher and Pat Mariani, later became Pat Fuller, and Roger Downing, who's Ken Downing, the admin officer's son, who used to live in Chingford, incidentally, and later Dr. Alan Shipman. Our EW was much older, though. He was George Highland. He came back from working in Canada on the Canadian Pacific Railway as a fireman. He was only a little chap. He used to have to shovel 13 tons of coal in 126 miles between Jasper and Calgary, I think it was.
Oh, feeding the engine?
Feeding the engine, yeah. It was about a ton every 10 miles. you used to work with Reg Duke, the crystallographer. Maybe you knew him, did you? Or
yes.
A member of anyway,
Jeff Duke? Jeff?
Is it Jeff? I thought it was Reg.
Oh, was it? Oh, yes. Oh, well,
it was JRC, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
We always called him Mr. Duke, actually. Oh, yeah. Because he was a bit prim and proper and a bit off-putting to outsiders, but he was a good chap to work for and gave me a good start, I think. His wartime service, because he'd been in the army, I think it was the army, gave him a sense of purpose. To give the guys in the field something better to fight with. Because I remember him being put out by Dr. Bellamy one day. Remember Bellamy, the director?
Yes, yes.
because he said, the soldier wants more, is more concerned with having a bit of live ammunition that will work in his rifle rather than knowing exactly it with the angle between the atoms in a water molecule. He was got his feet on the ground, all right? And talking of him reminds me of another day. We used to live on the north side in L146, I think it was, with a veranda outside. We used to talk on there, and there's a path outside, and people from the labs further up used to come by, including Evelyn Gilbert, one of the girls, in tight slacks, and old Duke said, that girl not only looks as though she's been poured into their slacks, but she'd be very carefully poured into them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Incidentally, Evelyn Gilbert went out to New Zealand on one of those £10 tickets. Do you remember that, everybody?
Yes, it's £10, yes.
And we still keep in touch with her.
Oh, yeah, oh, yes.
Yeah, because she used to work for Wilf Dukes up at the materials section.
Yeah.
And occasionally she comes over to visit him and us. And she's got a lot of stories about tales in the old days, if you want to get in touch with her.
Yeah.
I've got several addresses, which I think are better if I send them to you.
Yes,
because
that's
at least then
yes.
the dodgy spelling will be at least written down rather than...
Oh, yes. Okay, thanks. That'd be very good.
What else I say? Oh, there are a lot of other young ones around that time. Gene Squires, Mavis Glibbery.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Dave Manners. He's still around, isn't he?
He comes down the Fridays occasionally, yes.
Roy Seaman.
Yes.
Sheila Rosenberg, who married Ernie Cook.
She's Ernie Cook, so what, yeah.
David Steele. Big fellow.
Don't see him. Yes, tall chap, wasn't he? Yes.
Jeff Howells.
Yes.
In the main lab, and my wife, Jean Armour.
Oh, she worked in the main lab,
In the main lab, yeah.
Oh, yes.
We married in Chesham in 1957.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's one of the questions on the thing. Did you meet future husband or wife?
Yeah, that's right. Well, sort of at work, but sort of cycling to work, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She used to live in
Yes, those happy days of cycling along a fairly lonely road.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Sorry, you just worked,
She lived in the station house just north of Theobald's Lane station.
Oh, yeah.
Because her father was the station master at Waltham Cross. And the old house at Theobald's Lane, which wasn't working then, was the station master's house. So she worked in the main lab with people like Les Cole and George Smith. Do you
remember George him? Smith, yeah. I remember
Fall asleep type man.
Yes, he dozed off occasionally, yes.
And the main lab seemed to me, from what I've heard since, would be a good source of stories. And Jeff Howells,
Jeff Howells, yes.
He used to be on the Monkswood.
Yes, I've got him down as a possible one to interview.
Good. I've got his address, maybe you have you?
I've got the telephone number. I haven't got the address.
Okay, I'll send it to you anyway.
Yes.
He's got a lot of stories and a good memory for him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Downing, who came and worked with us in the crystallography.
He's the son of...
Of Ken Downing. K.O. Downing. They moved from Chingford to live in the old house opposite the gate into the north site that was off High Bridge Street.
I know.
By the old
surgery. Yes, oh yes.
He lives in Holland now, but he comes over to see his sister and his aunt, and in connection with his work that he does now, he's retired. So he would be another source of stories too about McNulty.
Yes.
Do you remember McNulty?
McNulty, yes, I know the name.
Big fat guy like.
Yes. I'll note him down then.
He used to live in the house opposite them on the north side of High Bridge Street. There were two houses, one on each side of the road.
That's right. Yes, there was two big houses right opposite each other.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Yeah.
I think the one you're talking about, the last one you mentioned on the north side, was used as a sort of home guard depot during the war.
Was it really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, headquarters for the home guard. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story, yeah.
A bit of a story. When I started as an AEO, I had a third class degree from Southampton. In 1953, it was the first time they held their own exams as a university in their own right.
Oh, yeah.
Previous to that had been external London University. Anyway, they decided they were a bit upmarket and they'd only award firsts, seconds, thirds and passes. There weren't any lower seconds or two twos, which I kid myself I would have got. So I got a third. And when you came into the civil service in those days, you went in the EEO, E-class, experimental officer class, as an AEO. So I joined up at Northern Poly in Holloway Road to do an MSc. 5 years later, evenings and Saturdays, part-time, I got it, and I got a class-to-class promotion to SO, uh-huh. which is why I eventually got up the S class. You remember Jim Geacock?
Yes,
He went to Northern Poly too, and he got his PhD there.
Yeah.
And we often used to travel up together, mm-hmm. him on his BSA Bantam, or together on his BSA Bantam.
Yes, oh yes. Oh, well, he sometimes went pillion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was actually kind enough to say once that he didn't mind riding with me driving because he thought I was safe enough there.
Oh, yes, so you somehow changed over, yes.
Well, I had the Bella set then, anyway.
Yes, so. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean, yes, on your bike. Yeah.
Not that going up there wasn't without incident on wet, frozen cobbles and fog.
Oh, yes.
Because it was foggy then, wasn't it?
You used to get the fogs then, yes.
I can remember we were both coming back on the Bantam one night, and at Turnpike Lane, we ground to a halt. We could feel the wheels in the gutter against the curb, but when you looked down, you couldn't see the curb.
No, I know what you mean, yes. I walked all the way from, I don't want to take up the story, but I walked all the way from Edgware once, I worked at the Havilands, from Edgware to Walthamstow, the only way you could tell you were still on the pavement was by a dull sort of slightly lighter glow as you got under a street light. I walked in a front garden somewhere anyway, that's how I still yeah. Sorry, carry on, yes.
You did walk in those days too, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
I walked down from Liverpool Street to Waltham, to Cheshunt one day.
Did you, yes?
Yeah, I missed the last bus.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford anything else, so I walked, you know.
Yes,
Took about 3 hours. But you didn't mind in those days.
No, it took it for granted. I wasn't, nothing. We just carry on walking.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't so harassed by the general noise and fumes and turbulence that is on the roads today. It was a quiet sort of business, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, carry
anyway,
on.
Anyway, so I got this class to class, and I thought, well, that's it, I've finished with exams. Mm-hmm. And then came along on Bellamy again, saying, with an offer, for me to go up to University College London, because they wanted somebody to be their nuclear magnetic resonance expert.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, as a sort of throwaway line at the end, there'd probably be a PhD in it for you. So, and it was going to be on full pay. So that's how I got my PhD. I couldn't very well turn it down, although I thought, oh, no, not again.
Yes, oh, great.
And not another 3 years of work. Anyway, the NMR job disappeared anyways, but I still went there and I still got my PhD. When I came back, I worked for John Vernon in rheology with people like Bob Rainbird and Sheila Cook and Dyson and Beryl England. And that was, of course, another change of subject. I didn't do anything that was at the college which was any use to me or Waltham Abbey. And now I was doing rheology. It actually turned out to be good in the long run, but no good for promotion then. And in 1964, as I can remember, I was still an SO. That was 10 years after coming in.
Mm-hmm. 10 years,
and they said, PhD, well, that's not, that doesn't count. You're away. You don't know learn anything about explosives. But eventually I must have got SSO. I can't remember when. But about that time, I must have transferred to the South Site, where you were, weren't you?
Yes, I was with you for the time on the north side, wasn't I? And then I think we had the office, didn't we, together, next to old Scrivener, was it then?
Scrivener, on the north side.
On the north side. Well, don't you remember in the front office there, weren't we, for a time? The second office down the passage.
Really, Ron? I can't remember that. I can remember you on the south side, clear enough.
Yeah, where were you on the south side?
Well, in whatever it was, Peace. 720, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yes.
You know, as you came in the gate, you went up a slight slope.
Oh, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. I'm getting mixed up with North and South Site. Yeah, forget it, forget what I said.
Okay,
yes. That's right, yes.
Because there used to be a little car park outside.
That's right, yes.
Which, the clearest memory of you I have is I used to have the old Rover.
Yes, oh yeah.
And you had the Hillman.
Yes.
And I claimed, and I could, start the Rover by rolling off that car park.
Oh, off that little slope at the car park. Oh, yes.
Do you remember?
Yes, I remember that.
You went out one lunchtime to go home, and you came dashing back and said, Mine might even roll, never mind start.
And I remember you very kindly said, would you like to have a go in the Rover? And I drove it down all on my own down to ISRG.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And
I can't remember that.
The thing was that when I got to ISRG, I wanted to reverse and come back. So there was like a sort of causeway running off the main road into the ISRG offices.
Yeah.
And so I backed round that. And in backing round, one wheel rolled off the curb into down a little bit, you see, down the slope. And there was no problem. I went in and said, I've got a bit of trouble out here. And the ISRG staff, about four or five of them, girls and blokes all together, all came out and shoved you back onto the path again. I didn't tell you about that.
No. Yeah. Sort of thing that happens, isn't it? When
Isn't a strange thing. So.
I've written down here, it must have been about that time that the CSSA, the Civil Service Sailing Association, was growing.
Yes.
Bob Simpkins and Eric Speller and Steve Bell were leading lights. And we used to bring the CSSA sailing cruiser Demijohn around from the Blackwater and up the Lee and into the factory for the winter.
That's it, yes. It was moored up by the surgery way.
The old North Side surgery. Using the conveniently provided canals to do so. You know?
Yes.
Very thoughtful of them. dinghies. Later on, they built dinghies in the old surgery when it was abandoned.
Yes, I was in on that. What they called herons, weren't they?
That's right, yeah.
A couple of herons, yes.
For the Fisher's Green Club.
Yes.
Is Eric Speller still around?
No. He died about 7 or 8 years ago
now. Did he really? I've been trying to desperately remember the other guy who used to be in the electronics. Short, squat, and sort of cheerfulish guy who used to go around with Eric a bit.
There was Arthur Eldridge, Dennis Mansell.
No. There was a really thick set guy.
No, I can't. I can't place.
Nor can I, but I can picture him, but I can't remember his name.
I'll think about it. I might be able to.
I'm thinking of the canals. There was Brian Howard. Bill Smith, W.A.W. Smith.
Yes, they're still friends. They still, those two, yes, they still meet up.
And the third guy from Dudley, who, name I ought to know, because I knew him quite well. I can't remember his name. He came from Sandbatch or Dudley. They rented the lock house on the canal.
Oh, yes. Tony Barrett.
Barrett, that's it. Yeah, Tony Barrett. Tony Barrett, yeah.
He comes down occasionally, you know. He lives up in the Midlands somewhere now, near Sheffield or somewhere.
Going back to where he belongs, obviously.
Yes.
Do you remember they were frozen up in 1963 on the canal?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And the stories of them having to use a bucket as a loo.
Yes, that's right.
And leaving it to freeze and then skating there.
Do you remember the curling story? Curling.
Yeah, that's right.
Take the contents and skid them all down the canal.
That's right. Yeah. I thought you might know that one.
Yes, I've heard that one. Yes. Parker. Do you remember Dave Parker? He was one of the. He was with them. He's a rather short chap.
No, I don't remember.
Dave Parker.
Oh, no.
He was with the Lockhouse Mob for a short time. I don't think he could stand too much of it. It was tough going there.
I bet it was. Yeah. I was trying to remember the other people on the south side. John Scrivener, wasn't there? And Graham Spickernell and Bob Brown. And Vic Clifford.
Vic Clifford,
and
yes.
And you and Eric Speller. Mm. And there was another guy whose name I also think was Smith, wasn't there? With dark hair, sort of broad creamy
hair. Ron Smith.
John?
Not Ron Smith.
Ron Smith.
Yes. Is that one you're thinking of? He was on the proof stand or something, I think. Yes, he was.
Did he leave at one stage?
Yes,
because
he did.
There was somebody.
Yeah.
I was talking in the office with. Didn't we share the office with? I shared an office with you, didn't I?
Yes.
Which is what you were talking about.
That's
wasn't
right.
It?
That's what I was. Yes.
And wasn't this other guy in there as well? I can't remember. But anyway, I said one day.
Not Kendra. Anyway, sorry. You said one day. Yes.
Be a bit sad to keep coming through those gates for the rest of your life, wouldn't it? Not just talking in general.
Yes.
And apparently he took it to heart and left. So I understood after I'd left. But he came back again, I understand too. But, and of course down at the... Oh, and next door was Bob Page in the workshop.
In the workshop, yes.
He was a nice guy.
He died about a couple of years ago, yes.
I suppose he must have been older than me. I'm 69 in October.
Yes, I think he was a bit older than that.
And the, his sidekick, was it Frank?
Bob Elliott. There was a Bob Elliott. There was Arthur Horton, a big thick big no. chap. No, Frank. Frank lived in Honey Lane.
Not still, surely. He looked old then.
Yeah.
He was a sort of Alf Garnett sort of.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. But and inside the gate was old Grant.
Yes, Grant in the lab, yes. He's passed on long while ago, yes.
And talking of that, I was also down then just behind that lab, and it was the mixing bay.
Yes.
And Joe Archer was in charge.
Joe Archer, yes.
And I guess you remember he was killed at the bus stop.
At the bus stop, yes. Yeah, so very tragic that was. I remember that morning.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the only.
Yeah. Do you remember Alpha AB? He was a foreman.
Yeah, my wife used to work with him.
Oh, did she? Oh, yeah. Yes. And, yeah.
What happened to him then?
Oh, I think he was much older than us. I think he went some time ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. He just died.
Yes.
Died, didn't he? Not killed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Joe was the only bloke I remember suffering any...
Yes, any, working in all those hazardous surroundings and then gets knocked down by a bus.
Exactly, I worked with Scrivener there on polyurethane propellants for the Blue Water, I think it was.
Yes.
And I wasn't getting anywhere. I did manage to get SSO, but it was pretty clear that I was still in everybody's mind. Stay out.
Yes.
I managed to cheat the system. And I eventually saw this job going down here at Halton Heath, which incidentally used to be the Royal Naval Cordite Factory, the old equivalent of Waltham Abbey.
Can I just say, I can't remember, what actual job were you doing when we were in the office together?
Well, I did rheology type thing work
for
John
Scrivener. Yeah.
Oh, we did one or two inert propellers.
Tensometer stuff and all that sort of thing.
Tensometer stuff, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, anyway, yes. So
it wasn't really getting me anywhere.
No.
And when I saw this possibility of escaping down here to the Admiralty Materials Lab, to come back to me roots, because my hometown's Winchester, to the south, where I could sail my boat in Poole Harbour.
Lovely.
I grabbed it, and it was, I've often said, the best day of work I ever did at Waltham Abbey.
Yes.
Was to get this. I walked down here, came down on the train, walked round, didn't have a serious interview all day, just at the end of the day, they said, well, what do you think? Would you like to work here? And I said, yes, please.
Oh, yes.
And that was it. You know, I went,
very
informed, really.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't look back. I started afresh there. They didn't know who I was or no past history, no preconceived.
No, that sometimes helps, doesn't it?
I'm sure it does,
late.
So that was about my, so it was 13 years exactly, almost to the day. Started in January, left in 31st of December, 13 years later, with a wife and two kids. And another one since we've been down here. I've got a bit of paper here.
I remember, you remember Freeman, Phil Freeman?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, because he was somehow unliked, wasn't he?
Yes, a strange character. He was one of the original RGPF chaps.
Was he? Yeah,
He was an Assistant 3, I think it was called then. And anyway, when I started back in 54, that's about 10 years break from the RGPF, he was my section leader, and I was sharing the office with him. So he was always Titch Freeman, you see. I don't know why. I think there was a cricket or something of his contemporary at this time. I don't know why he was called Titch, but because he wasn't particularly small. And so I said to him, are you still called Titch? You know. So he said, he gave me a funny old fashioned look. He said, well, he said, if you don't want to be called Perth, He said, call me Phil and I'll call you Ron. Because a person's a name I had all the time with me.
Oh, really?
When I was at in the gunpowder factory.
Yeah.
And he gave me a wry smile and said, well, no, I'm not really, but unless you want to be called Perth, you can call me Phil. Anyway, so carry on, yeah. What about Kent? Did you use a canteen at all?
Yes.
The Guncotton Canteen, so that. You wouldn't believe the place now. Yeah, I expect you've heard about what's happened to it, haven't you? The south side. It's a mini Milton Keynes now. It's completely, it's all developed, all houses.
Recently, there's been a new road driven through, hasn't
new
there?
New road, yeah. Southern Relief Road, yes.
Yeah.
And the whole of the south side, a hill has been taken away. Remember the hill that used to go up Quinton Hill?
Yeah.
That's been scooped flat, that's disappeared. And the whole of the site is now just a potential building estate. But anyway, you'll see that if ever you come along. Well, I'll send you a photograph of it if you really want to know. it's very sad, actually, to go past and think that everything of your previous career has just been wiped off the slate,
We do come up occasionally to see John Wright, Dr. John Wright.
Oh, yes, yes.
Who's one of your members, isn't he? And,
yeah.
We had a wander around the north side.
Yeah, mm.
Well, not in the establishment, but in where the new houses are. And the,
I know, yes. Yes.
Last time we
just
were
off High Bridge Street.
Yeah, that's right. Which has changed quite a bit even there, isn't it?
It's a certain house around that corner.
Job to place where anything was there.
Yes, it's a fact. Ron, that sounds pretty good. If you jot me down those dresses and that you mentioned,
I'll certainly do that. Send them to you.
Anything else that crops up, make a note of it, and I'll include it in the put it into the archives along with the rest of your very useful contribution.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
It is. It's very colloquial, and it's all there. I think we covered everything there. That's it. All right, then. Okay. Ron. Thank you very much for giving us the time and on Saturday night.
Best of luck with it all.
I'll get back to you sometime.
Yeah. When are you going to hold the next thingy? When is it you've
had? It's sometime in October. I can't tell you. I haven't got the paper with me.
That's all right.
Just a minute. I think I've got it just here. Hold on. No, it's not to hand, so I'll let you know later.
Okay.
Okay, then.
All right, well, nice hearing from you.
Best of Gene.
How are you keeping yourself?
Oh, yes, keeping fairly fit myself, yes. I'm not doing too bad. And Dom and I have all been considering that. Okay, well, nice talking
to you. See you then. Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.